Child Radha Madhavamba Punya Bhikkhati Jayarada Madhavamba Punya Bhikkhati Jayarada Madhavamba Punya Bhikkhati Jayarada Madhavamba Punya Bhikkhati Gopichana Malama Girivara Nalanti Gopichana Malama Girivara Nalanti Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Te Ramana Chanti Amunate Ravana Jaldi Jaya Radha Madhava Kundalini Jaya Radha Madhava Kundalini Gopichana Vallabha Girivaranathi Gopichana Vallabha Girivaranathi Yasodhana Nanakajajana Ranjana Yasodhana Nanakajajana Ranjana Yamunati Rapajanti Amunate Ravana Chanti Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vilati
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya O Sutala Sutashi Shimad His Divine Grace of Ayachadana Adavakabalana Gosami Shila Prabhupad Jai Iskan Boundaracharya Shila Prabhupad Jai Manandagoti Vaishnava Vrindigajai Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakurikajai Purem Se Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Vakta Vrindikajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopa Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuranam ki jai, Navadeepdham ki jai, Jagalakaswami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Shivadiglasadevi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 15, text 73. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tavad Dasyam Aham Jagnye Tatrapi Brahma Vadinam Ashushrushayanu Sangena Prapto Ham Brahma Putratam Tavadasyam Aham Jagnehi Tatrapi Brahma Vadinam Shushayanu Sangena Raptoham Brahmaputratam Tavadasyam Aham Jagye Tatrapi Brahma Vadanam Shushayanu Sangena Raptoham Brahmaputratam Tavadasyam Aham Jagyehi Tatrapi Brahmavadanam Shushrushayanu Sangena Raptoham Brahmaputratam Tavadasyam Aham Jagnehi Tatrapi Brahma Vadanam Shushayanu Sangena Raptoham Brahmaputratam Tavadasyam Aham Jagnehi Tatrapi Brahma Vadinam Shushayanu Sangena Atoham Brahma Putratam Tavadasyam Aham Jagye Tatrapi Brahma Vadinam Shushayanu Sangena Shushayanu Sangena Abdoham Brahmaputratam. Okay. Tavat, since being cursed. Dasyam, in the womb of a maid servant. Aham, I. Jagnye, took birth. Tatrapi, although being a Shudra, Brahmavadinam, unto persons well conversant, with the Vedic knowledge, Shushruksheha,
by rendering service.
Anusangena,
simultaneously.
Praptaha, obtained.
Aham,
I. Brahmaputratam, a birth as the son of Lord Brahma. In this life. So translation, although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maid servant, I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who were well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. So you can repeat. Although I took birth as a Shudra
from the womb of a maid servant,
I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas
who were well versed in Vedic knowledge.
Consequently, in this life,
I got the opportunity
to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 32, Mami Varta Vyapashritya Yebishu Papayunayaha Striyo Vaishyastata Shudras Tepi Antiparam Gatim. O son of Pratap, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, as well as Shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. It doesn't matter whether a person is born as a Shudra, a woman, or a Vaishya. If he associates with devotees repeatedly or always, Sadhu Sangina, he can be elevated to the highest perfection. Narada Muni is explaining this in relation to his own life. The Sankirtan movement is important, for regardless of whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, Malecha, Yavana, or whatever, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions, and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. This is bhakti. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. If one has no desire other than to serve Krishna and his devotee, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narada Muni through this practical example from his own life. So, Tavadasyamaham Chakri Tatrapi Brahma Vadinam Shushushyanu Sangena Raptoham Brahma Putratam. So, Omaganatha Vedanta Shah, Gananjana Shvakaya Chakshura Militan, Yena Tesmai Shivadeva Namaha. So, there's two topics here. One topic is the topic of how by association with great pure devotees of the Lord, the Brahmavadanam. One can be elevated very, very quickly with a little bit of association. And the other topic is that if one is elevated to Krishna consciousness, then one can be on the highest platform regardless of what one's present or past situation was. So these are the two topics I wanted to talk about. So, we want to talk, first of all, about the highest platform. Because generally, in the materialistic culture in India, not the materialistic culture in the West, the highest platform is generally considered to be a Brahmin. And, of course, there's many different Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas, there's different types of Brahmanas, of course, which we're not going to get into right now. But the Brahmanas are very expert in reciting the Vedic mantras. This is the traditional understanding. The Brahman is very expert in the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Tara Veda. Rig Veda is the Veda of hymns. Sama Veda, the Veda of like the musical accompaniment and the rhythms and everything like that. Yajur is the Veda of sacrifices, and Tarva is the Veda of different mantras. Sometimes you have the different weapons mentioned in the Mahabharata, like the Agni Astra, the Brahmastra, there in the Atharva Veda. So, anyway, so Brahma is generally considered a Vaidic Brahman. So we're going to talk about different types of paths that are mentioned in the Vedic literatures. There's the Vaidic path, there's the Pancharatriki path. And then, of course, we have our Bhagavad Vidhi. There's three different paths. The Vedic path, Pancharatriki path, and the Bhagavad Vidhi path. So, talking about the Vedic path, or the Vedic, to be more precise than Vedic, it is, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that if one is born in a lower family, and that's all of us, incidentally, even though many devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, being a little bit influenced by chauvinism or whatever, tend to concentrate on this one part of the verse 932, where it says, anyone of lower birth, yepishu papayonia, and they concentrate on the one word, striyo, and not so much on vaishyas, tata, shudras. In other words, they think this verse is specifically pointed out towards women. You know, women of low birth, because I'm not a striyo. Of course, the word striya means basically to increase the material enjoyment, because you put the man and the woman together, the material enjoyment increases exponentially, or the material involvement increases exponentially. As we've stated sometimes in the past, that if you give a man all of his belongings and a woman all of his belongings separately, they can both fit in the trunk of a car. But when you put the man and the woman together, then it expands exponentially and fits in several moving vans. So that's why the woman's called Striya, or Striya. So this verse talks about everybody who's from a lower birth. And if a lady is a Brahmin, she's not considered Striya. She's actually considered a Brahmani. But if a lady or a man is not a Brahmin, then that's a lower birth. Whether it's Vaishya or a king, king is a lower birth than a Brahmin. Or what to speak of Shudra, what to speak of Malacha, Chandala, Yavana, Rakshasa, and all these other different nomenclatures that we have to refer to people who are from a lower caste or a lower birth. So, anyway, so that's one point I wanted to make here, that everybody who's not a Brahmin is considered lower birth. Everybody. Lower in reference to Brahmin. Okay? And generally it's considered that only the Brahmanas can achieve the highest destination of Param Gatim here. Of course, the ritualistic Brahmanas, their highest destination is what? The heavenly planets. So these Vaidic Brahmanas, generally it's like that. The Vaidic or Vedic Brahmanas, generally the heavenly planets. So basically, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Jiva Dharma, those who are not born in Brahmin families cannot be Vedic or Vaidic Brahmanas. In other words, ritualistic Brahmanas who deal with the Yajurveda, Tharva Veda, Sama Veda, like this. They can actually do other things, but they can't be ritualistic Brahmanas. So therefore, we are not teaching the Vaidic path. That is not the teachings of the Krishna conscious movement. In fact, the Vaidic path is not even recommended in Kali Yuga. We find generally the Bhagavad Vidhi is recommended. I mean the famous verse in the Brihad Naradiya Purana. What is that? Harinam, 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 Harinam Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nishteva, 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 Gathiranyatam. That in this day and age, Harinam, or let's paraphrase this, the Bhagavad Vidhi, Bhagavad Vidhi, Bhagavad Vidhi, is the way to achieve self-realization. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. And other things can be done in reverence to the Bhagavad Vidhi. And so, we're talking about Harinam. Let's talk about that in a broader sense, because I did paraphrase it with the word Bhagavad Vidhi. Harinam, in a broader sense, refers to any type of Krishna Katha. Because, basically, reading the Bhagavatam is Harinam. Reading Bhagavad Gita is Harinam. Reading books about Krishna or reading books by Krishna like the Bhagavad Gita. This is all glorification of Krishna. So this is in a wider sense, this is all Harinam, the name of Krishna. Because the Bhagavatam is person, you know, it's a person, it's Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, every word in the Bhagavatam is Krishna, is a manifestation of Krishna. If you can understand or be absorbed in one verse or one word in the Bhagavatam, you'd be Krishna conscious. So this is the Bhagavad Vidhi. And so as far as the Pancharatrika Vidhi, Pancharatrika, of course, we also follow. And Narada Muni does mention in his Narada Pancharatra that anyone in any caste, if they follow the rules and regulations, can execute Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi basically means the deity worship, the regulated service in the temple, like we're worshiping Tulsi Devi every day, we're getting up early every morning. This is all part of Pancharatrika Vidhi. Therefore, if you read the nectar of instruction, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is concerned just with Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. You find in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is actually our nectar of devotion, that there's rules and positive injunctions and negative injunctions for serving the deities there. There's positive injunctions and negative injunctions for chanting the holy names. For reading, I mean, just like if you hear about the primary practices, devotional service, you know, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshiping the deities, worshiping Delta, residing in the holy place, associating with the devotee. I mean, the primary principles are Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi, not Vaidic. You don't, I cannot remember anything Vaidic, you know, according to the original ritualistic Brahminical standard that you find in Nectar of Devotion. You just don't. You don't find any of these things. However, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, you do find some Vedic things, injunctions. The reason for that, according to Srila Prabhupada, was that parts of the Hari Bhakti Vilas have been influenced by the ritualistic Brahminical conceptions. What do I mean by that? That not that Gopal Bhatta Goswami or Sanatana Goswami were influenced by these things, but in order to reach out to the Brahmanas, I mean, that's their version of Krishna East. Just like we have Krishna West, and so we may do certain things that are a little bit, I wouldn't say bad, but unusual, to reach out to the present culture. So Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they wanted to reach out to the Brahmins. They always wanted the Brahmins to become devotees too. So they had to present certain things to attract the Brahmins, so that the Brahmins wouldn't consider that we're a bunch of religious. For example, Srila Prabhupada, when he installed the deities in Vrindavan, had some of these Vedic rituals done. But Prabhupada actually said the deities were installed by the Harinam, not by the Vedic rituals. But why did he have the Vedic rituals done? So that we would be accepted in Vrindavan as a bona fide temple. The same way, more recently, when there was a Didi installation in Tirupati, which I was part of, they even had people, or analysis people, they even had brahmanas that weren't even part of our sampradaya doing the installation. Brahmanas who were part of the Sri Sampradaya, the Lakshmi Sampradaya, followers of Ramanujacharya, you had different tilak, different sikhas, tie their dhotis differently, did everything, not everything, obviously, but they did so many things differently than we do, and different mantras than we normally recite. But my good friend Ripati Raman had these brahmanas do the installation. Basically, they call most of the shots of the installation. They did the havan before. Havan means fire sacrifice. They did the havan beforehand. They had the, they did the kumbha, you know, the traditional method of bringing the deity or the Krishna, investing in the deity like this. You know, it's the traditional South Indian method. So that because the people there, we wanted to be accepted by the people. We could have done a traditional Vaishnava Oma, and it would have been just as good. Or, you know, would have been. We did it. That was actually part of it, but it was a very small part of it. Or, let's even say, I was at the wedding of Ripati Brahman's daughter in Tirupati. And it was definitely done differently than I've ever seen an ISKCON wedding done before. Different than the way that Prabhupada did it. They even had a ceremony that I'd never seen before in my whole life. It was called the Kashi Yatra. That meant that in the middle of the marriage, the boy runs away. Now, as a sannyasi, I would say that's a pretty good idea to run away and not get in trouble. But really, that wasn't the idea, that he would run away and escape from entrapment and go to Kashi or go to Vrindavan and be happy for the rest of his life. So that wasn't the idea of it. The idea of it was that the girl and her family would run after him, grab him as he was outside. He actually, it was interesting, he ran outside of the marriage hall, practically to the forest, and they had to grab and drag him, stick him on a swing with his prospective wife and force him to look at her so he'd get attracted to her and bring him back. I mean, it was all part of the ceremony. It was quite an interesting ceremony if any of you have an opportunity to see a South Indian marriage. So the point is they did that so because the people coming would accept the marriage. But they just did it in the traditional way that we do in ISKCON, you know, just swaha, give the ring to the bride, you know, do your seven steps, you know, whatever else we do. You know, I've done so many marriages. It wouldn't be accepted. So sometimes we have to do certain things that are really not essential, part of our sampradaya, but not against the rules and regulations of devotional service. So the Hari Bhakta Vilas had certain things like this. And I was just reading about the Bhishma Panchaka, where you're supposed to engage in all these austerities during the five final days of the Kartik month. And I said, wow, really? You know, one day you're supposed to just drink cow urine. You heard about this before? Anyone's heard about this before? No. It's called the Bhishma Panchaka. And the next day you just eat cow stool. I said, oh my God. The next day you can have butter, ghee. You know, I don't mind that day. And then yogurt the next day, and then finally when Kartik's over, you know, joy, you know, phew. You're not even allowed to eat havisha on those 5 days. Havisha means like the boiled khichdi without any spices or anything like that. You're not even allowed to do that on the final days. Wow. That's pretty intense. So, of course, I don't follow that. But these things are in the Hari Bhakta Vilas, and those weren't given to us by Prabhupada, so basically we don't follow that. We follow what was given to us by Prabhupada. That's what I do. you know, what Prabhupada did is good enough for Prabhupada, good enough for me. And, you know, sometimes we'll add some things to please the audience, you know, Hare Krishna, as long as they're not against our rules and regulations. So that applies to Krishna East and Krishna West. We have to do certain things so that bring people to Krishna consciousness somehow or other. That's the whole idea. You get people chanting Bhagavatam, get people worshiping the deity. Just like we have together Krishna West, and you know, some of the people are coming from Krishna West, and they're very attracted to deity worship. One of the girls was cooking in the kitchen yesterday with Sadhvi. So, but we have to bring people to Krishna consciousness using culture, whatever culture we're in. Anyway, enough of that. So therefore, we follow Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. And according to Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi, then anybody, whatever their birth is, can actually become Krishna conscious. They can't become Vaidic Brahmins. None of us should try to become Vaidic Brahmins unless we're born in a Vaidic Brahmin family. And anyway, what's the use of that in any case? In fact, there's an interesting verse in the Padma Purana, Arche Vishnu Shaladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Budi, that no one should see the deity as being made of stone, and no one should see the Vaishnava in terms of their jati. You know, the jati means like the caste. It's considered hellish and hellish, nara mati. And your mind is just like hellish if you're actually seeing the Vaishnava in terms of where they came from, their caste. So, this is a very, very important point. So it's an offense, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who lists different ways of offending Vaishnavas. One way is to consider their past. You know, past, or past activities, or birth, or bodily defects, or even accidental deviations that they have now. You know, if they believe in Donald Trump or something. So one should not consider the Vaishnavas in terms of any of those different parameters. One should actually just see the devotions they're rendering, their tendency to render full-time devotion, chanting the Lord's holy names, and worshiping the deity. These are our two tracks. Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. Remember that. So, when Narada Muni mentions here, is born as two brothers of Shudra, that's Shudra according to the Vedic system. And, of course, his mother was a maidservant. Indirectly, that means that he didn't know who his father was. In other words, she wasn't exactly so chaste. So that's generally considered to be a very, very low birth. I mean, in the West, of course, it's not considered a low birth anymore from Western perspective. Western perspective is you can be born from a test tube rather than, you know, from a human being. Anyway, West. So what can we do about that? So anyway, so it's a low birth, but let's touch upon the second topic here. He got the association of Vaishnava during the 4 months of the rainy season, and by association, I mean he served them. Mahatsevam Gauravi Mukdes. He served the Vaishnavas, and actually it's mentioned elsewhere that he took initiation from them. He was a little boy, like 5 or 6 years old. He took initiation and they actually gave him the holy name. It's not that they gave him the Gayatri Mantra, but they gave him the holy name. He heard the holy name. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he initiated, let's say, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. They were called Dabhyakas and Shikara Malik, and he said, your name's now Rupa and Sanatana. And Lord Chaitanya initiated the Buddhists by making a trick. You know, the chief Buddhist monk was knocked unconscious because this bird picked up the so-called Mahaprasadam that they were trying to trick Lord Chaitanya into eating and dropped it on the chief Buddhist's head. And the Buddhist followers went to Lord Chaitanya and asked Lord Chaitanya, what should we do? And Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna. And they chanted Hare Krishna to the in the ear of their guru. So they took initiation from Lord Chaitanya and they gave initiation to their guru. So the Harinam is the initiation. That's the most important thing. And then, of course, Mantra Diksha, the Gayatri Mantra, that is, helps one come closer to Krishna, come closer to the spiritual master, and realize one's spiritual identity. But the Harinam is the most essential thing. Therefore, Narada Muni, he got this Harinam in his previous birth, as a son of the maid servant, he got the Harinam from the sages. And another point is he got a chance to eat one time the remnants, the prasadam remnants of the sages. This is called Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad is the prasad that comes from the deity plate, the offering of the deity plate. And the Mahaprasad is prasad that is the remnants of some great personality. So, of course, Prabhupada does state, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita states, that the three powerful substances, the Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad, the foot bathing water of a great devotee, and the foot dust of a great devotee, a great pure devotee. So, of course, I remember in my own life, I took Prabhupada's foot dust many times, and I took Prabhupada's prasadam remnants a few times too. So this is very, very potent stuff. So by this little association that Narada Muni had, of course, this association was there because he was basically blessed by the curse. When we mentioned previously, when sages curse, when great devotees curse, and it was Prajapatis who cursed in this particular case, and they're great devotees, these Prajapatis, like Agastya Muni and others. And so when they curse, they actually bless someone. When Narada Muni cursed Manigriva Nalakubra, it was a blessing to get pure devotional service. You know, first you have to become a little humble. The curse makes you humble so that you're able to receive instructions from a pure devotee. Because without humility, if one is prideful, then how can one hear nicely? One is thinking, you know, I know best. You know, Prabhupada said, you know, first we have to tell people, Prabhupada is talking about how to preach to people. He said, first you go up to people and say, oh, you're so intelligent, this, and then Prabhupada said, you forget everything you know. You know, you're so intelligent, but forget everything you know. And then, of course, not that we should directly say that, but that should be how we approach people. Obviously, if you went up to people in America and said, you're so intelligent, they'd probably like that. But if you say, you know, forget everything you know, you don't know anything, then they would reject what we were saying. But in any case, that should be our move. That you have to really come to the point of abject humility in order to receive Krishna consciousness. Twama kinchana gochara. I mean, that's the same statement made by Queen Kunti in the Bhagavatam. That one, because we're proud right now, we're proud of different things, you know, whether it's our learning, wealth, beauty, position in society, position in Varnashram, whatever. So we have to relinquish that pride, and sometimes it's required that we undergo a little suffering to relinquish that pride. Whether that's a disease, whether it's a loss of position, whether it's a low birth, whether it's poverty. You know, what do they say in the Bible? It's difficult for a rich man to go to heaven. Heaven in this particular context means the spiritual world, of course. Because when we talk about heaven, it means something different. But the Bible says it's difficult for a rich man to go to heaven as a camel to go through an eye of a needle. You know, so the example is that one has to be like another statement, one has to be like a child to enter the kingdom of God. Not that one has to be foolish like a little kid, but one has to be very innocent and accepting and humble and willing to do whatever Krishna wants to enter the kingdom of God. So Narada Muni, being a child at this particular point, was extremely humble, and being from a low-class family. There was no cause for him being proud like in his previous birth. You know, handsome, Gandharva, surrounded by women. You know, he had everything, you know. Dhanam, Janam, and Sundarim. So Krishna took away, and the sages took away the Dhanam and Janam and Sundari. So if we're very attached, Krishna will take away Yashaha, Mana, Vridhame, Hurishyeta, Dhananchanai. For those who I especially favor, I take these things away. And so their family and friends reject them. And then all they're left with is just the chanting of the Lord's holy names. And one may think that's a curse, but that's a blessing. Because ultimately, that is our only shelter. Krishna's names, that's our shelter in this world. Or shelter in the spiritual world, or shelter anywhere, is the name of Krishna. So, Narada Muni, he was humble, and he was able to accept instruction like this. And in a very short time, he became completely purified. I mean, there's more to the story, of course, that Narada Muni, you're going to hear more of the story, that, you know, his mother died, he saw Krishna one time. Anyway, so there's other parts of the story. So there's many other examples. First of all, I wanted to describe why this happened, why he got Krishna consciousness so easily. I mean, first of all, he was receptive because of his humble. But secondly, that Krishna consciousness only comes from devotees. It doesn't come from Krishna. Of course, Krishna is Krishna conscious. However, it's mentioned by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur that bhakti, which is Krishna consciousness, devotion, is not given by Krishna. Bhakti is, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, the Madhurya Kadambini, mentions bhakti is independent. Independent. Of course, ultimately nothing or no one is independent, no energy is independent from Krishna. But Krishna has given bhakti her independence. And so in order to get bhakti, we have to go to the person who has bhakti, and that's Krishna's devotee. Like his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So, of course, how do you go to a devotee who's no longer present on the planet? By reading Prabhupada's books, by hearing from Prabhupada. I mean, we're so fortunate that amongst all the past acharyas, spiritual personalities, real spiritual personalities that have appeared on this earth planet, we have more information, direct information, exactly what Prabhupada said, exactly what Prabhupada did, exactly what Prabhupada meant, Prabhupada's intention. I mean, that's also important too. We have all that exactly written down, defined for us, whereas in the case of practically every other spiritual group, not practically, every other spiritual group, they don't have that. We're talking about real spiritual group. We're not talking about bogus spiritual groups where their leader says he's God. That's a bunch of hogwash. But if you look at all the different religions in the world today, many bona fide religions, Christianity, Muslim religion, Judaism, what do they have that they can actually point out that their leader, 100% they're sure he said it? Practically nothing. 100% that he said it? I mean, do they have any MP3s of Jesus Christ? I mean, I wish we did. But we have all this direct evidence of Srila Prabhupada, and we can associate, I had a lot more I want to talk about. But anyway, we can associate directly with Srila Prabhupada. And we get this bhakti latabhi, just like this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona, Bhagavan, Jeev Krishna, Prasade Bhai, Bhakti Latabhi, that the living entity is wandering, and then he comes in contact with Guru or pure devotee. And then he gets the bhakti. Bhakti, latabij, means seed that becomes the bija, the creeper of devotion. So the whole secret of Krishna consciousness is to associate with devotees. And especially we have Srila Prabhupada, our pure devotee. To associate with devotees should read regularly his books, at least, you know, an hour a day. Devotees who are here, from Srila Prabhupada. There's many different things one could do. As you're eating prasadam, you can hear from Prabhupada. As you're getting ready to take rest, there's plenty. People say, I have no time. Well, do it while you're doing something else, while you're driving a car or whatever. There's always a way to hear from Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, you'll always be alive and full of bhakti. On that happy note, all glories to Prabhupada. Kamala Priya is watching.
Never get sure.
Steve Williams. And property. Vrindam Hare Purusham Namaham Bhajami.
Yasodhaya
Thank you. fellows at Shima, divine grace of our Jagannatha Bhagavatam, Goswami Mahashila Prabhupada, Iskand founder Acharya Prabhupada, Devotee Vaishnava Jai, Nam Acharya Shri Das Thapi, Brent Say Bahushi Vishnu Chaitanya, Prabhu Vishnu 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 all glories to Shambhu Bhutis, all glories to Shambhu Bhutis, all glories to Shambhu Bhutis. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shambhu Bhutis. To read the translation, to the Supreme Controller, who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, his glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifested himself in the Gokula, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and eventually jumped up and ran and retreated in fear of Mother Yashoda, and was ultimately caught, to that supreme lord, Sri Damodar, who offered my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two gloved hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick. And his mother showed up and out of his belly with ropes. He shivered in fright from his pearl necklace ship. If the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar was bound by his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayana Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord, Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your future Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be activated in my heart. O Lord, which cheeks with your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by lots of curling hair, have become reddened like nuga fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulence that are of no use to me, but maidens should constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited vision, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow and almost like a dead man. Please shower your rain of mercy upon me, uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision. O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound here to a thriving stone with a rope of companion cows. You then greet the sons of Kumera, Manigriva, and Nalakubara, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them a chance to become your growing team. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation and your effulgence. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Rama, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound to the rope by Mother Yashoda. This rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani, and your unlimited pastimes, Jaya Lord Damodar. So we have to break the fast before I think it's 10 this morning, right?
15, I think.
What?
I think it's 10:15.
10:15. But do it before 10:10. Okay? All words. Yeah. About that.
Everybody is leaving their bodies.
We have to be prepared, all of us.
What? Cameron knows what. They don't light fires on the altar with those candle things or anything like that?
No, the candles are all
electric.
They're all battery.
Yeah, that's fine. I was worried about that one.